Proverbs 8. The blessings of wisdom. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal she cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings rule, reign, and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule, and nobles all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasures. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he established the fountains of the deep. When he assigned to the sea its limit, so the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. And he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Dear Father God, I thank you that we can gather today, that we can come together and read your word and hear your word preached and sing songs of praise to you. God, what a privilege and honor that is. Lord, I pray that you would just put in each of us a desire for your wisdom, that we would not be swayed by what the world says is wisdom, but we would long for and search after the wisdom that you promise us, God, that we would be wise in your ways. God, that you would give us this gift freely. And Lord, I just thank you for all that you do. In your precious name, amen.
Proverbs 8, continuing our series on this book called The Way of Wisdom, how badly our world needs wisdom, right? Great and small. Everyone needs it. But let's start with ourselves this morning, shall we? Let your eyes just look down through Proverbs 8. I want to show you how appropriate this text is for our particular moment. We'll go through it in a little more detail in a moment, but verses 1 through 4, wisdom offers herself anywhere and everywhere. Verse 3, to all the children of man. Doesn't matter who you are, just listen. You can have it. Look at starting in verse 6. She has precisely the moral qualities we need. Verse 6, she's noble and right. Verse 7, she speaks truth. She has a hatred of wickedness. Verse 8, there's nothing twisted or crooked in her. Verse 12, she offers prudence. She knows prudence well and knowledge. Verse 13, She hates the right things, evil and arrogance. Verse 14, she possesses counsel and strength to get things done. This is the woman of the hour, isn't she? Look at this, verses 15 and 16. She offers herself to kings and rulers to help them order a stable and just society. Verse 17, she presents herself not just an instructor for our minds, but a lover for our hearts and to fill our souls. Verses 18 to 20, every good thing we could possibly desire, she sets out there for us. Look at the list. Riches, honor, righteousness, she's better than gold. If you've been with us for any of the previous five sermons, none of this should be a surprise to you. This is all familiar content. It's just being repeated, stated a slightly different way, but making the same point. But the unique contribution of chapter 8 is in verses 22 to 31, where wisdom tells us her own backstory. You might think of it as something like a superhero origin story. There's something compelling about the backstory of a superhero, isn't there? I mean, for those who like superheroes, the origin story film is often their favorite film in the series. For me, Batman Begins, 20 years old now. That's the one. For some of you, the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. For others of you, you like Miles Morales' story in Into the Spider-Verse, an origin story, so compelling. The original Iron Man, these are all favorites. For some reason, the origin story of a powerful figure moves us, and that's the point of Proverbs 8. Lady Wisdom, this powerful figure, if you would, maybe this wonderful woman, stands before us and tells us her origin story. That's what's happening in Proverbs chapter 8, because she knows the power of an origin story to move us, and that's what she wants, to move us toward wisdom. In other words, if I could put it like this, this chapter is answering one big question: how? Proverbs hasn't answered that question yet. How can wisdom offer so much? What is it about her that gives her this kind of power? How can she be better than gold and jewels? How is she such a powerful force in the world, in society, in our lives, anyone who's devoted to her? To put it in a statement instead of a question, Proverbs 8 explains how Lady Wisdom is able to offer so much, and here's how. If you want to put it in a nutshell, here's the answer. Only she has been here from the beginning, so only she can fill our life with blessing. Only she has been here from the beginning. She knows how the world works. So only she can fill our lives with blessing. There's four parts to the chapter. We'll go through them pretty quickly. 1 through 11 is an invitation. You see it in verse 4. Learn, verse 5. Hear. The chapter closes with an invitation as well. That's the last of the four sections, verses 32 to 36, that's another invitation. You see it in verse 32. Listen, verse 33. Hear. So the chapter's book ended with an invitation. None of that material will be new. It's Lady Wisdom making the same point. The way you could summarize Proverbs, the way I sum it up, is three verbs: listen, learn, and live. That's what she's saying in those opening and closing sections. But the two paragraphs in the middle, these are the ones where she identifies herself to us. She explains herself to us. Verses 12 to 21, she shares with us her abilities. Verses 22 to 31, her origins. If you want to put it in a rhyme, in those two middle sections, she shares with us her worth and her birth. That's what this chapter is all about. But let's look at the invitation first. The opening invitation, verses 1 through 11. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals. She cries aloud, "To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense." Literally, you probably know what this would be called. It's personification, an abstraction, or an impersonal entity is given personal qualities and appears in the story like a person. That's what's happening here. Wisdom personified as a beautiful and powerful and noble woman, and she's crying out in the locations where we all find ourselves in everyday life. Do you see them? Verses 2 and 3. She's on the heights beside the way. We'll talk about this more next week when we look at chapter 9, but the heights were the places in the ancient world where there'd be a temple. In other words, when you go to church, she's calling out. But that's not all. At the crossroads, those are the places of travel, obviously, and commercial activity where the people are gathered. She's just there in everyday life in the market. There's a phrase, beside the gates. And the other one, at the entrance of the portals. Again, in the ancient world, the gates were where the town council would gather and conduct town business. In other words, she's active in speaking in the places of government, the centers of power. She's everywhere, hollering out. Wherever people are, they will encounter her. And it's not just religious people. It's not just church. It's not just cloistered people. It's not just, you know, the retirees who finally have quiet after years of working or as a busy mom raising children. It's not just those people. It's right in the press, the hustle and bustle of everyday life. She's calling out, offering wisdom, leading to success. I feel like I need to explain what that means though, right? Because we live in all of those places, and I don't know about you, but I don't feel very wise. So if she's calling, how am I not hearing? Well, let me unpack this a little bit and explain what is meant by this image of her calling. Three things, I'll just go through them real quickly. First, it means if you want wisdom, you can get it. You don't need to adjust your schedule. It's available. Start with the want to. And notice wisdom is external to us. We have to listen for a voice from outside us. She's not in here. It's totally contrary to our cultural moment, and even the impulse in our own soul. Ray Ortland says, there's a reason you have ears on the outside of your head. You're not meant to listen to yourself. I'm like, yes, that's right. We hear wisdom's call by just wanting it. That's the first thing. She's speaking everywhere. The second thing, and this isn't the main point in the passage, but I just so badly want to bring this to you here. One of the ways she speaks is through you. As a Christian person, now I know some of you here might not be following Jesus. I'm glad that you're with us. I don't mean to exclude you from this moment. I'm glad you're here. But as Christians, we believe we have a unique opportunity because we have what we would consider the wisdom of God revealed to us here with real answers for everyday life. Those promises about success and long life and all of that, that's not made up. And so, friends, if you're a Christian, you have suddenly been given a unique opportunity to speak to your neighbors and coworkers because a huge cultural thing just happened. And if someone asks you, what do you think? How are you feeling? How are you coping? Man, you can speak with wisdom as a citizen of both worlds, right? And say that. Well, as a Christian, I'm torn by what happened. On the one hand, I feel so much grief at our society and for those people. I'm so sad. I'm a citizen of this country, but I'm also, as a Christian, a follower of King Jesus, and so I have such hope. This is not the end. This will not undo his plans. He reigns with strength, and he has a proven track record of taking total disasters and working some good out of it. So I don't know what he's doing, but I trust him. How is wisdom speaking in all of those places? Through you. So say something like that. The third way wisdom speaks is she is woven into the warp and woof of all of creation. So the point is just pay attention. Learn how life works. Wisdom's voice is heard in the public places of everyday life, which means You should be noticing what works and what doesn't. Just pay attention is the point. When Andre and I moved to Colorado with our family, we decided we would try to do some gardening as we had done a little bit in Michigan. But in Michigan, there's actual water. It falls from the sky and it hits the ground and things grow. And there are marked seasons. Like when the weather warms up, it stays warm. And when it starts getting cold, it stays cold. And so in Colorado, we needed to get some advice from people. When do we plant so that frost won't come if we plant too early and kill all the buds? And if we plant too late, the frost won't kill all the crop before it's ready to harvest. When is the magic time to plant? And so we learned some wisdom from people who garden in this area. They told us how life works. Their answer was, never. It can snow in July. Now, it's 100 today, probably not today. There is a way life works. This is the point. There's a way life works. Just pay attention. We got a dog. We wanted to train her in certain particular ways. We are a family that exercises a lot of hospitality. We have people in our home all the time, and we don't want a dog that's jumping on people. We want a dog that will come when we tell her to. We want a dog that will mind. Well, we learned something from people who know how to train dogs. Dogs don't understand human speech. They just don't. And so you can holler, come, all you want. You need to figure out a way to make that happen. Here's the trick. You need to figure out a way to entice the dog to do the thing. And then when the dog's already doing the thing, you say the command so that the dog begins to associate that sound or that gesture with her behavior. So if you want the dog to come, you offer a treat. And then when she starts coming, you don't say, come, come, come. You offer the treat. You're like, whoosh, whoosh, you know, get her attention. Offer the treat. When she starts coming, then you say, come, come. And she starts to associate that sound with that behavior. And what are you doing? You're just living in line with the way the world works. Wisdom cries in everyday life. You just need to pay attention. There's a way relationships work. There's a way gardening works. There's a way making meals works. Years ago, we were making tacos for our family. It was after a long, busy day. The kids were ravenously hungry, and we have a mob. And so we decided to make tacos. Quick, easy, everybody loves it. Got all the ingredients whipped out, thawed some taco meat. Andrea is spreading beans on the tortilla, and I decide I'm going to, you know, get engaged in this moment, you know? And so I step up and I grab a tortilla and I'm trying to put meat on it. And she's like grabbing the tortillas out of my hand. I'm like, I'm trying to help. I'm just, and you know, it's a tense moment. And through gritted teeth, she says, if you put the beans on the tortilla before the meat will stick and it won't fall out. It's not my first rodeo, cowboy. She has learned how the world works in a very simple way, making a good taco. That's what this means. Wisdom calls. There's a relationship between how the cosmos is in God's created order and how it should be in our own personal moral order. Proverbs 6:6. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her and be wise. The moral order should reflect the created order. That's the point. Lady Wisdom continues her appeal by listing her ethical qualities. Verse 6. Here, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right, for my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands. They're right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all you may desire cannot compare with her. There's nothing degrading in her. She's noble. There's nothing mistaken. Her words are right. There's nothing wicked or crooked or twisted. Look at that phrase. Her words are straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Verse 9. In other words, what wisdom teaches is open to anyone who's open to her. She gives you what's already in you. Her words are straight to the one who understands. In other words, Lady Wisdom sounds reasonable to the person who is reasonable. Here's the thing about God's wisdom, and this is true just of God's word. It reveals yourself to you, not just him to you. It comes to you not only as he is, but it comes to you as you are. Are you open? It will be open to you. If you are, as it says, a person of understanding, it will seem straight to you. If you want knowledge, it will seem right to you. If you come to Jesus sincerely, he will give you his sincere best. So here's Lady Wisdom appealing, trying to get you to listen to her. But now, in the next paragraph, she moves into this formal introduction. She wants to tell you about herself. Look at verse 12. She's like a bride approaching behind a veil, and she lifts the veil, and you see the beauty and nobility of this woman. What is she really like? What are her strongest qualities? Who are her best friends? Where is her greatest impact? Look at this description, verse 12. I, Wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. Do you understand what she's saying? Those abilities are not just intellectual capacities. Those are her roommates. Those are her friends. These are her work associates. This is who she hangs out with. Who does she not hang out with? Verse 13. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Don't you want this woman in your life? Don't you want a woman that brings these other good people around so you can get to know them and helps you stay away from that other influence? Look at verse 14. She has the power to get things done. I have counsel and sound wisdom, insight. I have strength. There's a political aspect. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. Princes rule by me and nobles, all who govern justly. She is the patron of high-ranking officials who want to conduct their affairs well. That's what she's saying. Anyone who rules well at all, in any measure, does so because they've listened at least a little to Lady Wisdom. And if you want to pray well for those who have influence, pray that they would hear her voice. She will yield a stable society, good order, because she helps you understand the way things work in the world. Pray for and vote for and be a person of wisdom. Look at verse 17. She's not hard to find, but you do have to pursue her. You have to want her. I mean, like any woman you've ever met, most of what she wants is just to be wanted. Look at that, verse 17. I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently, find me. Okay, some of you, this is your sixth sermon that you're hearing in this book of Proverbs. Has your desire for wisdom grown? Do you pray for it more? Do you look for it when you wake up in the morning? You think, here's a day I can grow in wisdom. When you look at your life, my life will matter if I gain wisdom. That's what's being asked of you. She loves those who love her. She allows herself to be found by those who seek her. Verse 18, all the blessings you could imagine, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. My yield better than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice. I grant an inheritance to those who love me. I fill their treasuries. Friends, only Lady Wisdom can fill your life with blessing. Why? Well, next paragraph, because only Lady Wisdom has been here from the beginning. We looked at her worth, verses 12 to 21. Now let's look at her birth, verses 22 to 31. There's two sections in these 10 verses. Both of them are 5 verses. 22 to 26, she shows us her prestige as the first created thing. And then verses 27 to 31, she shows us her pleasure at all the other created things. Her prestige and her pleasure. Or if you still want to rhyme, we looked at her worth, and now it's her birth and her mirth. Thanks. Verse 22, her birth. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before he had made the earth with its fields or the first dust of the world. I'm a little disappointed. The ESV misleads us in verse 22 with that rendering, the Lord possessed me. That's a possible meaning of that Hebrew word, but better, especially in this context, is the Lord created me. That's how the NIV translates it. The Lord brought me forth. The New Living Translation, the Lord formed me. The Christian Standard Bible, the Lord made me. The NET Bible, the Lord created me. These are all good renderings of that word because in context, look at it. Verse 23, the Lord set up. I was brought forth, verse 24. Verse 25, I was brought forth. Wisdom in this sense belongs to the realm of created things. She is the first and best aspect of God's creation. Like us, she exists as a child of the Creator. Unlike us, she was there when everything else was made and she remembers it. In this poetic sense, wisdom isn't an attribute of God. Of course, it is an attribute of God in an absolute sense, but I'm saying in Proverbs 8, wisdom is not being described as an attribute of God. It's being described as an attribute of the world. It's something from himself that he infused into all of creation. In that sense, she was the first created thing. Wisdom in this sense is the inborn virtue and power and order in the creation that can give virtue and power and order to our lives if we'll get in line with it. Why does that matter? Because wisdom alone can tell us how God's world is meant to work. Verses 23 to 6 tell us she was there at the beginning. Look again at those verses. How would you describe nothingness? Well, wisdom does it by naming big cosmic elements and then saying, those weren't even there yet. I mean, look at that. Before the beginning of earth, no depths, no springs abounding with water, before the mountains, before the hills, before the earth with its fields, or the first dust of the world. The Emmanuel Mission team is still picking the dust of the world out of their teeth right now. They're like, I wish I would have been there before the dust. Ate a lot of that last week. What's the point with all this water and these mountains? Well, in the ancient world, water was a symbol of chaos, and mountains were a symbol of permanence and order and strength. And Lady Wisdom says, I was there before any of that. We read about that chaos in Genesis, don't we? Have you ever noticed? Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Before he even said, let there be light, there was some chaotic, watery mass. And on the second day, dry land emerged at God's command, and Wisdom claims to have been there when that happened. She was watching, learning how the world works. In other words, Lady Wisdom is the only observer of that creation week. She was the only observer whose observations are available to us. Angels were there. We don't, apparently. We don't, because Job tells us the sons of God sang when God created the earth. We don't get revelation from them, apparently. But Lady Wisdom, she's happy to tell us what she observed. Wisdom is so intimately connected with creation, you must know her in order to navigate God's world. No one else knows the world as well as she does. But she wasn't just there. She told us about her birth. Now she wants to tell us about her mirth. She's rejoicing. Look at verses 27 to 31. She has prestige as the first created thing. She wants to tell us about her pleasure at all the other created things. Verse 27, when he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of man. This creation story grows out of joy. We have a number of creation stories from the ancient world. They all tell us that the creation emerged as the result of a violent battle between warring gods. Egypt, Mesopotamia, the Canaanites. The Canaanites tell us that Baal defeated Yam, and as a result of that defeat, Baal pushed the waters back, the forces of chaos, and made the dry land emerge. It was a victorious, conquering symbol of strength. And Lady Wisdom says, I was there. It didn't go down like that at all. We were filled with joy. There was no battle. This was delight. We were singing. We were praising everything that happened. I exploded with happiness. That's what she's saying. Verse 30, I was beside him like a master workman. In other words, wisdom was present as the guiding force in creation. Somehow, some way, God used her to get it done. And she was so happy to have that role. She was playing. I was daily his delight. In other words, as we watch Lady Wisdom tell us her origin story and imagine a movie of it playing out, we can see in how she acts that it was very good, exactly what God says in Genesis chapter 1. Only she has been here from the beginning, so only she can fill your life with blessing. Friends, do you need someone to take the chaos and disorder and upheaval of your life and bring order and joy? Lady Wisdom is your man. And I say that on purpose, because even though Proverbs represents wisdom as a woman, because in this book, wisdom is a literary personification of God's wisdom, we who live in this age know that wisdom isn't just personified anymore. It's actually embodied in a man. We know his name, right? Can you tell me? This is Jesus, what we're reading. Colossians chapter 1, Paul, you know, was reflecting on Proverbs 8 when he writes Colossians 1, because in verse 15 he says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Why would he use that provocative phrase except to give us an echo of Lady Wisdom, who was the first created thing? And Jesus is the first over all created things. Not created. Big controversy about that in church history. Clearly not created. He goes on, verse 16, for by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He's before all things, and in him all things hold together. Do you hear those echoes from Proverbs 8? In him all things were created. Jesus was the architect of creation, the agent, the craftsman through whom all things were made. His relationship to powerful people, he created kings, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities, just like Lady Wisdom, who animates and guides and is the patron for powerful people. Paul's just showing us that was a picture of Jesus. All the good things you need to navigate God's world are found in Jesus. What about all the joy and pleasure and mirth? Wisdom is singing and laughing at creation. Do you remember Jesus in his ministry? Do you remember what he was accused of? Matthew chapter 11, he said, you say the Son of Man came eating and drinking. You criticize John because he didn't drink enough. You criticize me because I drink too much. This is what he says. Wisdom is proved right by her actions. Matthew 11:19. What does he mean? The Son of Man was ascetic. I am too libertine. Wisdom is proved right by her actions. He means, look at Lady Wisdom. Who does she look like? She looks like me. She was laughing and partying and delighting in creation. That's what I'm doing. I go to parties and I create good wine at weddings and I celebrate with people. And he ate his way through the Gospels and they said he was too happy. And he says, look, it's in your Bible. Wisdom was filled with joy. So friends, in Proverbs chapter 2, we learn, verses 1 through 5, that if you pursue wisdom and seek it with all your heart, what you will find is the fear of the Lord and find knowledge of God. In other words, wisdom in your pursuit of her will lead you to God. How? Here's how. Proverbs 8 describes the wisdom of God that was established at creation and available to ancient Israel in an abstraction. But it's available to us in a person, quite literally, in Jesus. Look at how she closes, verse 32. Now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. You know what she's saying to you? Wisdom is the only necessity you need to have the life you want. And now we know in Jesus, he's the only thing we need. Why? Well, only he has been here from the beginning. So only he can fill your life with blessing. Right now, right away? No, I don't want to preach a sermon that's tone deaf to the moment, right? We're waiting. This takes faith. We don't see it all yet, but we will. This is a classic superhero story, isn't it? Impossible odds, does not look good. Our only hope has actually vanished from the scene. Here we are, these innocent citizens of, you know, Gotham or wherever. We've got no hope, and bam, the superhero shows up and makes all things new. We're waiting. And so in the meantime, we wait and trust. Why? Because we see in him a picture of Lady Wisdom. God came to Lady Wisdom and said, hey, that chaotic, watery mass, you want to help me make that place of order in life? And she did. Jesus comes to you and says, do you ever feel like your life is a chaotic, watery mass? Well, I've done it before. If you'll let me, I would be happy to bring some order. Father, we pray you would help us all find Lady Wisdom speaking in our lives and the grace to listen. I pray for those who don't know Christ, that you would grant them full surrender, complete faith, hope only fully in him. Do something maybe they never even expected when they came this morning. For those of us who do know Christ, help us again recognize that everything we want is in him and trust him fully and wholly. It's in him we find all of our hope and our joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, friends, communion is what we always do after the sermon. And we do it on purpose. We believe God has ordained a powerful relationship between hearing the gospel preached and seeing it symbolized. So come, if you're a Christian, with eyes filled with faith. Don't just do this ritual, walk up the aisle, you know. Come with your eyes filled with faith. Receive bread and juice as God-ordained symbols of Jesus given for you, his wisdom available to you. If you're not a Christian, or if you're just absolutely, you know it, not walking with Jesus in rebellion against him, don't come receive bread and juice. Only Jesus can save you. So do business with him right in your seat while the rest of us are coming to receive communion. We'll sing a couple songs, and then we'll be dismissed. Thanks for your patience this morning.